Hello from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This is an English language and American culture online presentation. I'm Nigel Kaplan. I'm an English as a second language specialist at the UNC Writing Center. Well, this presentation is about using a corpus to find examples of real-world English, and it's suitable for all non-native speakers of English. At the end of the presentation, please fill out a quick online evaluation so we know what worked and we can improve services in the future. So let's start with the question, what is a corpus? Corpus is a Latin word, and for our purposes, a corpus is going to be a very large body of texts. It's the Latin word for body. However, we're not interested in a body of just any texts. A good corpus for our purposes has a lot of appropriate texts that allow us to learn something about the way that language is used. For example, if you want to know how a particular word is used in academic writing, you need a corpus that contains a large number of academic texts. There are also corpora for spoken English, newspaper English, fiction, and so on. So what can a corpus tell you? Well, by searching a corpus, you can find many examples of natural, authentic language use. Not textbook language, but real-world English. Here are some questions you could answer using a corpus. Is a particular word or phrase common, or is it really unusual? What words go together? In other words, what are the collocations of a particular word? What is the correct preposition? I'm asked that question a lot. And what's the difference between using different prepositions? Is this word spoken English or is it academic English? And what are some common synonyms of a word? Also, what's the difference in use between two similar words? So we can answer all those questions using a corpus. The corpus I'm going to show you today is the Corpus of Contemporary American English. This is available online. It's a free corpus designed by Professor Mark Davis at Brigham Young University. It's really a fabulous resource. It contains over 385 million words, which is huge, even by modern standards. That's 20 million words each for each year from 1990 till approximately the present day. So it really is the most up-to-date corpus you can find. The corpus covers many different types of English, spoken English, fiction, popular magazines, newspapers, and academic texts. And you can look in just one section of it to see, for example, how a word is used in academic texts. Even better, the corpus is updated regularly, so you can pretty much guarantee this is a good picture of the use of American English today. So what I'm going to do now is run some searches and show you what you can do and how you can use the website. There is a handout which shows you exactly what I've done. You can find it by clicking on the PDF tab above your viewer screen, or you can download it from the ELAC online website. Okay, so I'm going to go over now to a web browser and go to americancorpus.org, and we're going to go in. And you can see this is the main interface here. What we've got here, this is where you enter the query, the search terms. Over here, we're going to see the basic results. And down at the bottom is where we'll see example sentences. This introduction here I'm going to talk about later, but this is a great introduction to read if you want to use the corpus. Now, the software is free, but after you've used it about 10 or 15 times, you have to log in. That's what I'm going to do now. Okay, so there we go. I'm logged in. So I'm going to run some searches now. Let's start by searching for the word corpus. So I'm going to enter corpus, there it is, in the search box here where it says enter the word, okay? And I'm going to chart it, and I'll show you why in a moment. So when I do a chart, this is what it shows me. It shows me the use of the word in the different sections, which are spoken English, fiction, popular magazines, newspapers, and academic writing. Now, what you can see is that it's far more common in academic writing than any other form, But these bars are meaningless unless you know that the units, of course. If you look here, this is telling you how many times per 1 million words of text it occurs, okay? So it only occurs 3 times per million words of spoken English, but 11 of academic English. Down here is the actual frequency, okay? You can see that it's to do with how big the corpus is that gives you the per million words. But we can do a lot more with this. If I click with your mouse, I'm playing with a pen here, but you click with your mouse on the bar there, it says spoken English. What we're going to see here at the bottom are all the examples of the word corpus in the spoken English texts that are contained in the corpus. And what we notice is that they're not using the word corpus the way I just defined it. There's 2 ways it's used here: habeas corpus, which is a legal term, and Corpus Christi, which is a town in Texas. What that means is it's fairly clear that the word corpus is not common, it's not common in spoken English, so every time I use the word, I need to explain it. Now, I have another question, though. What if I wanted to know what adjectives go with the word corpus? Well, I can do that as well. In other words, do we say a big corpus or a large corpus? And what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to click on this where it says POS list. POS stands for part of speech. That's like a noun, verb, or adjective. And we are going to select an adjective, okay? Actually, that's not quite where we want it. We want the adjective to be before the corpus, okay? So this is telling the computer to look for any adjective before the word corpus. Okay, and we're going to restrict it this time to academic English. So by clicking here, we're only looking at academic English because I don't want it to pull up habeas corpus because that wouldn't be useful. And this time we're going to list, okay? And that will give us a list of adjectives that appear before corpus. Well, you can see none of the numbers are very big, but it is still very interesting, I think. The most common collocation is entire corpus. But then we can see large corpus, whole corpus, small corpus, and larger corpus, and extensive corpus. So I'm not going to talk about a big corpus, I'm going to use a large corpus or an extensive corpus. Okay? And as you might expect, by clicking on it, you get the list here. This is called keyword in context. In other words, it shows you the context in which the keywords appear. Let's look at an example. Here, we've got a use of the word a large corpus on late 19th century novels, for example. You can see the search words are highlighted. If you wanted to know a bit more about that, you can even click here, and it tells you this is from a source called Style, which I presume is some kind of journal, summer 2004, and you have a whole paragraph, nearly, of ways in which that word is used. Okay, let's go back. Okay, let's do another search now. What about prepositions? People always have questions about prepositions, and a common one I've been asked is, what preposition do we use after research? Okay, so to find this, we're going to search for the word research, and what we're going to do is we're going to put a preposition after it. So I'm going to choose the POS list, and I'm going to look for prep.all. That means any preposition. So that's the search term. It's telling me to look for, telling the computer to look for research followed by a preposition. Let's again search in the academic corpus for a list. And what you can see is a very strong pattern here. The most common preposition is clearly research on. It occurs twice as often as the nearest one, research in. But you may well ask yourself, well, these are used 500-600 times. Maybe there is something interesting in the difference here. Well, let's take a look, see what we can guess. All right, research on. Let's have a look at some examples from the quick display. Research on spirituality, research on the issues, research on the issues, research on the future, research on, let's see, research on expertise there. Research on the association between two things. Research on work and family balance, diet and foodways. I'm seeing a lot of general topics here. So research on a topic. And if we do research in, you should see something a little bit different. Research in education, research in African arts, research in a museum is literal, of course, research in psychology literature, research in that direction, research in sports psychology, school counseling. These are all academic disciplines, so you do research in a discipline. What about in two? Much less common, only 588 instances here. But let's have a look. So it does look like research on is more common, but if you look at these examples here, I'm beginning to suspect that research into may be a little more specific. Look at that one. Here's another one. So maybe research into is used for a smaller area, okay, of research. Research by should be fairly obvious. Probably guess, research by people in general, okay? Names or people like that. And you could look for more detail there if you wanted to. Okay, let's have a look at another question now. Some people have asked me whether researches is a correct noun. Now, in this case, if I just search for researchers, it's going to get a lot of hits because it's a verb. And it's going to pull up all the examples of he researches, for example, which I don't want. So I want to limit it here. The way you limit it is you put a period and, well, my computer is cheating here because I've done these before, but you do a period and then the part of speech code, which is noun all. And what that gives me is researches period. And then this NN asterisk means look for the word researches as a noun. The corpus is has been tagged. That means the computer knows fairly accurately if a word is used as a noun, verb, or adjective. We're going to search again, I think. No, we're going to ignore this. We're going to look for this word anywhere. And we're going to chart this, I believe, and see how often it comes up. Not very often, 78 times only in academic writing. Just to sort of put that in context, if I search for research, you can see it comes up 62,000 times in academic writing and even more overall. I do wonder, though, whether researches is used differently in different types of academic writing. So I'm going to click here where it says see all sections. Okay. If you click on section name, it sorts it in order, which makes it much easier to use. I'm going to go down here, and you can see all the academic subcorpora sections here. The figure you want to look for is this one here, which is the number of words per million, not the actual frequency, but the rate at which the words appear. And what you can see is that the word researches seems to be used much more often in education than any other field. So my general advice based on the corpus would be probably avoid it, but if you're studying education, you may well see examples of it. But what verbs can you use with the noun research? You don't always want to talk about doing research. Well, again, the corpus can help us there. Now, in this case, we're going to do a context search. Context allows you to look for words that appear close to your main search term, which is going to be research. Now, again, we only want research when it's a noun. Whoops. So we'll go back to our search of that. The period there tells the computer, again, to look only for research as a noun. But the context we want is any verb. So what verb is used with research, and we'll look for it. This tells the computer to look up to two words to the left, but not to the right. Two words in case there's an adverb or something in between there. Okay, and again, we're going to search only within the academic corpus here. And this is what we get. Okay, well, this is interesting. We've got conduct, conducting, and conducted. This is all really the same verb, so we're going to do a little trick here, which is we're going to open the extra options. I'm going to search by lemmas. Lemmas is a technical term. It just means all the forms of a word together. And you'll see the difference when I search. It's put all the conducted together. So clearly, by far the most common verb that we use in academic writing with research is conduct research. But there are some other options here: support research, use research, base research on something, to extend research, and of course, review the research is a useful phrase as well. Now, let's say you're actually bored with the word research altogether and you want to find some synonyms. Well, amazingly, the software can even do that. And the syntax for that is like this. I'm going to get rid of the pause list and search like that. So we put research in square brackets with an equal sign. And let's see what we get. Yeah, interesting. Study, research, investigation. It's looking for the noun and the verb. I can't seem to separate them here. But here you have some really nice synonyms that you can use. And always, of course, use a dictionary or look at examples to make sure you're using them correctly. The word seek is rather interesting. You might think, well, seek is similar to search. I wonder if they're used differently. Okay, so what we're going to do now is compare, oops, there we are, the words seek and search. Okay, we don't want any context here. And we do want some context, because if we just compare the words seek and search, it's not going to be very helpful. So my question would be, well, what do people seek and search? So let's look for what nouns come after it. So we're going to look for any noun, and this time we're going to look up to three words to the right. Again, three words because we want to make sure we catch any articles or adjectives in there. Okay, and I think this time we will just look across the corpus here. I'm going to turn off minimum frequency. And let's see what it comes up with. Ah, interesting. Now, what it's showing you here, just to explain it, these are the words which occur far more commonly with seek than search. In fact, if you look at all the zeros here, what you can see is that we never use the word search with, say, penalty. So you always seek, I think it's seek the death penalty here. You seek opinion, you seek approval, you seek election, you seek permission. On the other hand, over here, you would never talk about a seek engine. Google is a search engine, for example. Similarly, a search committee, when you're looking for a job in academia, search process, search database. You also search for an apartment. You wouldn't seek an apartment. That seems a little strange. So we can see that the use of these words is probably idiomatic. In other words, we have some kind of pattern, some kind of reason for choosing seek or search. They only go with one noun or another. I do wonder, though, if we can find a little bit more about how we use seek. So let's take a look at the verb seek by itself. Sorry, the verb seek by itself, and again we're going to look for the nouns in that context. Let's see what we get. Okay, again, what we can see is a difference between the different types of writing. Not terribly common in spoken English, but look at that, nearly four times more common in academic English. Now, if we change over here back to the list mode, we can see which nouns, oops, I'm sorry, I should have changed this to academic English. We can see what nouns are used with seek in academic writing. And what you should be able to see is that we seek help, seek a way, seek support, information, assistance, treatment, solution, advice. We seem to seek information or solutions or help, especially for bad situations. And that's a clue for how you can use the word correctly. Well, I hope that was an interesting overview to this software. There's a lot to learn, and you can take some time to explore this. If I go back to the homepage here, there's a really good introduction here which explains how the corpus is built, and it also tells you the syntax for doing the different kinds of searches. If I go back, At the bottom of this, there is also a 5-minute guided tour, which I would strongly recommend, because when you click on it, it tells you exactly how to do the search. It enters the search terms here, and this is an example of how to search for idioms, which you can even do with the corpus. Okay, I'm going to go back to my PowerPoint here. Some other corpora you can use. The same author has made an interface where you can search the British National Corpus, which is a very important, a little old now, but a very useful corpus of British and American English, and also a corpus of Time magazine, which is useful to look at more sort of modern journalistic English. If you go to my blog, ESL on the Hill, click on vocabulary, there are some other links to corpora and some exercises you can do. And you can, of course, use Google as a simple corpus search tool. If you do that, then do click on advanced search here. Use quotation marks to search for a particular phrase, for example, research into. And here where it says search within a site or domain, search for .edu. That will only look for websites at universities. It's going to give you a slightly better quality of writing and a better chance that they are correct examples of English use. Well, thank you for watching this English Language and American Culture online workshop. I wish you good luck with your corpus searching. I hope you find it helpful. If you would please take a moment to complete an online evaluation, the link is in the middle of your screen and also on the website where you found the link to this video. Please also visit our website and blog for more information and services. This has been an English Language and American Culture online presentation, a service of the Writing Centre at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Nigel Kaplan. I hope to see you again online or in person very soon. Bye-bye.